What's up, everyone? We're Journey to the West. I'm V, and I'm just here with Sen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sen.
And today, our podcast topic will be on Asian and Asian American influencers. So, who are they? To begin, they're typically people on Instagram and social media with a blue check mark. And the thing is, influencers can encompass many lifestyles, whether it's just travel blog, media, fashion, beauty, food, and all that kind of stuff. The thing is, I think I wanted to focus on influencers because there is a trend where influencers and micro influencers are becoming a thing as people become more into technology, et cetera, et cetera. And most of the time with Asian American influencers in particular, they tend to gain more traction through social media and et cetera, because we all know Hollywood discriminates against Asian Americans in real life. So that's why people usually just go through YouTube and et cetera. Actually, in fact, the Asian American influencer, I think, became popular because of YouTube. It started out with YouTube. Like, you'd see people, example, Ryan Higa and Kev Jumba, Michelle Phan, et cetera, et cetera. They gained traction because of YouTube. Now, our personal experiences with them. For me personally, I had one negative experience with she was starting out, but now she's hella famous. Jen Im. I had a family member who met Jen Im in person, and she was just like being whatever, because in her meet and greet, I don't know why, but she was just like not in the mood, and she wasn't even like with 1 million subscribers at that point. She was just like, I think she was either starting out or starting to get more popular, but we just didn't have a good experience with her. Not to say that she's a bad person, but it kind of shows me how, like, especially I see this pattern with Asian American women, how very superficially focused they are. And even now, like, to some degree, I'm in the influencer, like, circles, and I just realize, like, these girls are not the type of girls I want to be friends with, aka Asian American influencers. They typically, like, do the unfollow-follow thing. They also just like, and then, like, they're like, oh, look at me. And you know who they are. They're typically the girls with highlighted hair, that bleached blonde highlighted hair, that generic either ABG makeup look, or that very pink, soft, like, cutesy look. Like, there's no originality with them, at least with Asian American women who are influencers. They're so, like, they look the same. Like, don't you agree, Sen?
I would like to talk about the significance of Asian beauty influences, especially for us young women, only because, like, at least for me, I didn't grow up with a lot of Asians in TV so much. So I mostly consumed YouTube, and at the time, Asian YouTube was, like, popping off. There were a lot of Asian creators towards the top. And as you all know, like, especially in recent years, we've seen a very big shift in who we see at the top. So we have a fucking Logan Pauls, and especially in the beauty community, we have, like, very problematic individuals like Jeffree Star, who's a known racist. He had his whole little documentary series about his little pity party, about his past and all that bullshit. But at the end of the day, he still exhibits a lot of, like, misogynistic and racist behavior. So when we look back, like, you know, a decade ago, we had people like Michelle Phan at the top. So, and I remember during my high school years, there were people like Promise Phan was, like, in the spotlight for a bit. Like, just a lot of Asian women at the helm of this beauty community. But I feel like with the way things are, and especially the way beauty community has changed, it used to be a lot more grassroots. It used to be more people in front of a camera, but now it's more about how you can monetize, how you can get sponsorships, how you can push yourself as a brand and market yourself to potential companies that can use your image to promote their products, right? So with that in mind, the marketability of, you know, people, especially white women, is a lot more higher, white men even in this beauty community. You have a lot of these Asian beauty YouTubers in this sort of limbo where they really can't climb up that ladder of popularity or that same level unless they somehow sell out or do some shit, right? So some of the most problematic people I can think of is like Nikita Dragoon, where she wore some like really like weird fetish sexualized Asian outfit. I think it was like a qipao in front of like this Shinto shrine gate, and it was really culturally insensitive. Like V said, they lack originality because they want to go off this template that's already been established by a lot of white beauty gurus. But the thing is, it just doesn't work, right? All I see them, a lot of them do, is like they review like some same old products or like do the same brown eyeshadow look, and I don't think it will do them any favors. Especially with like all the recent drama, I feel like people want authenticity and want originality. So I feel like that's something that a lot of people lack.
Lord, oh my god, like with all the beauty community drama. And another thing, like even like me, I'm involved in like fashion and beauty stuff, and goodness, the ones who are getting like sponsorships and all that are usually like white women. The ones who are getting ass review stuff are white women. Very few Asian American women. Like, I've even like reached out to brands and I got no responses compared to like the amount of people my fellow influencers are getting. And it's just like, it's sad and it's disheartening. But at the same time, like when I try to follow and get to know Asian American beauty reviewers and all that, and it's just like, most of them, like when I try to reach out to them, some of them are not as open compared to actually, let me be real, the people who are from Asia but are reviewing, I get a lot of more positive reception from them than I do get from Asian American beauty reviewers. Just straight up saying out there, I actually feel like I get along with my Asian sisters better. Now, that's just personal experiences with them, as I'm kind of in a way in the groups right now. But another problem I want to highlight with them is that most of them are so, who gain success, like they're so middle class and focused. For example, like, let me give you an influencer name, Chriselle. Like, she's really well known in the fashion field, but like most of the brands she sponsors are like, I can't afford, like Dior, Armani, Kylie Cosmetics. And it's just, and they also like the way she, for example, she's a fashion focused influencer. The fashion she dresses for people, like, it won't look good on me because I'm not tall and skinny. My point is, like, I think Asian American influencers really need to remember that their demographic is not typically skinny. Maybe not all of them can do contouring on their faces, or not all of them can, for example, just simply go out and buy something. Like, it feels like they don't know who their audience is, and their audience that they're catering to is a small subgroup of middle class, even rich white women. That's my whole spiel on them. And so they, in my opinion, they do not encompass the Asian or Asian American experience when it comes to like, even some of them who bring up racism
it's
to
so
this day.
Fake. I'm like, work.
Oh,
I hate
boo-hoo. Where were you? Where were you?
I hate fake wokeness in the beauty community because like the problem is, and I think this really does extend to a lot of acquaintances and people I know in my peer group, because I'm in early 20s, and I was talking to some people the other day. I was saying that my friend was talking about drama with her friends, and they're literally like, one of them's getting engaged and bought got a huge ring, and then the other girl now wants to get married and went off to pick a ring for herself. And I'm just so sick of a lot of like women like indulging in mass consumerism and superficial materialism. And I feel like the beauty community definitely promotes that type of lifestyle. And a lot of, again, Asian American, Asian diaspora want to have that piece of the pie. They want to be famous. They want to be a social media influencer. But there's not a lot of talk about how toxic that can be. And it's just I'm just really sick of seeing that. It's so bougie as well.
Sorry that I can't afford to get my product shipped from Korea. But luckily I have a friend who's nice enough to give me stuff. But I'm like, I know my shit. Not everyone can get that. And the thing is, that's why they don't encompass the poor people like me who are college. And then they'd be all like trying to appeal to us. And I'm like, I see your tactics. I see them. I smell them. And the worst thing is, as they gain more mainstream traction, they just become like horrible people. Not horrible, but just like, okay, you sell out. You sold out. What made you authentic is gone now. Except for people like Ryan Higa, I think a majority of Asian YouTubers, influencers, etc., has sold out. That's who they are. And as they gain more mainstream traction, they just become less Asian-focused, which isn't... I mean, like, I want an Asian-focused channel. I don't know why that's such a bad thing to people, but as they become more, like, famous, they just become less Asian-focused, and they become less original. They become less authentic. And another thing, what inspired me to do this was watching Jubilee. I don't know if you guys saw, but on YouTube, Jubilee's trending. Like yesterday, they were number 5 because of the Tinder experiment video they did. So, I mean, I watched the whole video and, okay, the whole dynamic was just fucked up. I mean, really, just people, one person trying to choose. You could say the same, whether it's a guy or a girl who's like being the one choosing the guy or the girl that they want to be with. And the whole dynamic overall was fucked up, but watching Jubilee's video made me really like open my eyes, because when all the girls who were swiped right on or were chosen, like when they came up and the person who hosted asked them, if you would swipe left on this guy, ladies, and you don't want to, like, if you're swipe left, supposedly it means like you would reject him, please step out of the screen. And like a whole bunch of girls stepped out of the screen, and they were mostly Asian women. Like the guy picked Asian woman, but the Asian woman also like left when they said they would swipe left on him, except for one or two, I believe. And oh my god.
The guy was South Asian, by the way, I think.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay. The whole thing was fucked up, but ladies, yeah, we're not helping our case here. I'm just saying.
Well, I think I mentioned to V just earlier, there's this whole phenomenon of these like pseudo social experiments. So the Jubilee one was definitely like, I think their aim was trying to make a certain point, going, oh, look how dehumanizing it is to like just reject someone based on their looks. And I'm like, but the thing is, you're not subverting it by just doing it. You know, you're still doing it. You're still subjecting people, even if they're willing, to this type of thing. So I thought that was a bit weird. But I actually saw similar video from a Korean channel called Sulfa, I think. And it was like, not Sulfur, but Sulfa. But it was a Korean girl in the middle with like surrounded by Korean guys. And she just had these like little questionnaire/requirements of what she was looking for in a partner. And it consisted of like just general, like, oh, I don't, I'm looking for a non-smoker. I'm looking for guys this age. I want my future partner to have a college degree, blah, blah, blah. Just stuff like that. And it was like interesting to look at that, because it's a little less dehumanizing. I mean, it's still kind of sad that you would, you know, not get to know the person as a person and just look at them as like a bunch of stats. But that was more interesting because it wasn't as weirdly dehumanizing as like what Jubilee did, because it's a bit, you know, superficial.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, those social experiments. I mean, goodness. But I didn't like it overall, but I see why it had to be done. I mean, it was not the only one. I mean, remember The Asian Bachelor? I forgot if it was done by Wong Fu. Yeah, I think it was. But like, seeing all these social experiments, I think, are eye-opening for people to realize, like, racism is against Asians is a thing, even committed by our own. And yeah, we need for solutions to countering, like, the overarching greater problem is, like, Asian Americans, as they gain more visibility, they become less authentic, they sell out, and they just, you can't relate to them anymore. What made them, like, captivating is gone. I've seen it with Michelle Phan. I've seen it with, like, at least Promise kind of kept her new. But I've seen it with Chriselle. I've seen it with Jen. I've seen it with, who are other ones? Like, Ami Song. Yeah. I've seen it with a lot of people. It sucks. And the solution to not becoming a sellout? How about this? If you know someone looks like who's an opportunist for selling out, don't give them the visibility. Like, you could tell by the way their channel seems to be crafted. For me, I spot it this way. If someone seems like follower hungry, you can usually tell because they would be like, you should follow me. I'm almost on 2,000. If you follow me, I'll do a giveaway, blah, 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 blah. Those kind of people. They're usually on Instagram. If they also seem to like, you could tell if they're like going on the brand's channel and asking to do reviews, chances are they're a sellout. At least beauty community people. If they are the type of person who's like, oh, this product's so great, but they never use the product again, they're a sellout. For lifestyle people, if they seem to dodge the question instead of answering directly, yeah, that's another red flag. And the fake woke people, they're the toughest to spot. But one way I kind of nudge with fake woke people is I would see when the questions get complicated, are they willing to answer them at all? Seeing their patterns, especially like look at their follower count to following count. If they're following less people compared to their follower count, dodge them. Anything you want to add, Sun?
Well, I would say that us as, you know, Asian folk, we need to try and go out of our way to support more Asian creators, but also be very wary about you know, our expectations of them, because like I don't really expect Asian creators to be quote unquote woke or like, but if they're gonna like actively undermine, you know, social issues or work, that's when I'm gonna question them. What I have been doing recently is like every time I come across a Asian person on YouTube, I just like instantly subscribe, and then I'm gonna give them like a few months to like have their content and see if they grab me or if they have interesting videos. But if they don't, I'll probably unsubscribe. So that's something I've been doing because I noticed like a lot of the people I follow, they used to be mostly Asian, but now they're kind of like, you know, white people. So I'm trying to curb that. I can't really say that there's any like one Asian beauty YouTuber that I really particularly like, but I do like Tina Yong, even though she's I remember seeing a video of her doing some DNA test, and then she was like hoping to be half like part French or something, and I was like, oh, that's so fucking cringe. So cringe, because like why would you want to know that your ancestors were like probably raped by some French colonizers? But Aside from that weird thing, I do like her channel because there's like quite a few videos of her and her, like, I think he's a, I think he's Chinese, yeah, Chinese boyfriend, like talking about the relationship, and I do like seeing Asian couples visible. She also has like a number of videos where she's with her mom and she's doing her mom's makeup, and they're like just talking in Vietnamese very casually, and she subtitles it and everything. And I really like seeing, because I actually don't see a lot of Asian YouTubers just talking in their native language or just talking to their parents in a way that isn't disparaging, that doesn't sound like an our Asian parent story. So I do really like seeing her and her mom. She recently has done a few videos where she's just done the video entirely in Vietnamese, and her non-Viet audience still watches it and enjoys it. So I like that she's not like afraid of her own ethnicity and her culture. She's a small business owner as well, because she recently started like a lash line where she's catering to like hooded or smaller eyes. She didn't explicitly say, "Oh, I'm doing this for Asian eyes," but I know that she really had Asian people in mind when she made that brand. I think it's called, oh damn, I forgot what it's called. I'll link it or something. I'm not plugging her because I'm getting paid. I just like that she made a product that for, like, you know, her Asian audience and her Asian viewers and for herself. So, like, a lot of, like, I've seen a lot of people collaborate on products. I recall there was this one YouTuber. She made a fucking lipstick called Kimchi Doll. And I'm like, why? Why would I want a lipstick? Like, it didn't smell like kimchi, thank fuck. But it was just so odd. Like, look how proud of my Asian heritage. It's so on the nose. Like, something like, oh yeah, it's called Petite Cosmetics. Something like the lash line Petite Cosmetics is something that I can stand behind, because it's, you know, for us. It's for Asian people. It's for people. It's actually for an audience. It's not like some played out, like, oh, here's another fucking eyeshadow palette. Here's another, like, generic lipstick, you know? So I do appreciate that. And she operates in Singapore and in Australia. So I don't know. It's just nice to see someone like me who's doing well. So that might be, you know, again, she's not some woke queen or anything, but I'm more inclined to support her than somebody else.
For me personally, if there's someone with visibility, it'd be Promise Fan. I'd support her because, like, she has the creativity and she literally goes bold with her makeup and doesn't stick to generic brown eyeshadow. She actually goes all out. So I vouch for Promise Fan. For guy YouTubers, like, this is a little tough, but, like, I always stuck with Ryan Higa. And then also, if you like to support and appreciate guy stylists, Unge Tran, he's a hairstylist. I support him. Hong Vango is a makeup artist who actually does celebrity makeup, like Selena Gomez from Miranda Kerr. He's done a whole bunch of celebrities. Like, oh my God, I love him. Hong Vango. I always try to go out of my way to support up-and-coming people. I'd also scan them carefully. It's not just on appearance, okay, by the way. Just because a girl is blonde and Asian, even though I hate those kind of girls, I'm just like, it doesn't mean she's individually based on certain criteria. See their patterns. Like, do they actually, like, go, oh, if you follow my channel and you have this many followers, I'll give you, do a giveaway. Like, those kind of people. Like, judge based on their actions, not on their hair color or eye color, which I do too, but I'm backing out now. But if you are a creator, if you're gonna be a sellout, just don't go to the Asian American community and try to sell out and just, like, be like fake woke with us. If you're gonna sell out, just get out of here. Let's say that. If you're not gonna sell out, if you're gonna at least attempt to be authentically Asian American focused, like, stick to it. Because one way or another, you're going to be in a niche. Inevitably, it happens. There's no one who can go on multiple niches. You're just going to be niched. That's my personal experience. You're going to be niched. Deal with it and capitalize on it. But be authentic about it. For example, Ors Cosmetics, which is hella bougie, but nonetheless focuses on Asian American women and their foundations and all that. Ors Cosmetics is actually coming up with like an Asian brand, like focused foundation and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So keep that in mind. If you're going to sell out, just don't go after us, Asian people, okay? Just go sell out and leave us alone. If you're not going to sell out, stick to being authentic. Remember, you're going to be niche. Just accept it. Okay. That's V. You could just follow the GTTW podcast to keep posted. And Sen?
I'm Sen. You can find me on Twitter at SEN_TINT. We actually have a few reviews recently, so do you want to like read them out and thank them?
Great podcasts. Shout out to Koo15. He said, or she said, great podcast with a lot of insight into Asian diaspora issues for Asians. Especially enjoyed the recent Asian feminism pod. Made me think a lot about race and gender and how they intersect. Thank you, Koo15. All right. And we have another review on by Han Chen's on October 22nd, 2018. Offers an authentic voice that is often missing from online discourses about Asian issues. At times, funny, angry, depressing, but always unapologetic. The show has gone a lot better over the time I've listened. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Han Chens. And then we have an AMAF woman listener, Kianja One. Love the show. Surprisingly, I can relate to many things, and I'm also learning to dispel generalizations. The show for me is a mix between The Read and Pod Save the People. Thank you, Kianja One. All right. Anything else?
Yay, we got a woman. Yay.
Yep. Okay. So that's it. Thank you, everybody, and bye.